pray. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that I would preach your word, that we would all hear, receive, and apply to our lives, and that you would come among us and do your work of transforming us into the image of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today's the day in the church calendar when we celebrate and remember the Lord's baptism, which was our gospel reading. And it's also the day for us that we have our annual meeting as a church where we will gather and elect the new vestry members and hear some other things. And also as we began today a season of 40 days of praying for the church, our church and the universal church. And we pray for the church because the church needs help. And as we discuss the baptism of Jesus today, we'll see that God provides help, but nothing is automatic. Jesus came to the waters of the Jordan to be baptized by John. And John recognized him as the one that he had spoken about. You know, how much John knew about him is speculative, but he knew that he was the one to come. And what John has shared about Jesus, as Luke tells us, when John spoke of the one to come, he spoke of him as being the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This was quite a pronouncement, that the one to come would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Because as the Jewish people then, and as us now, as we look at the Old Testament narrative, we see people who are baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's a select few, the prophets, some kings, some others. They were baptized by the Holy Spirit that came upon them, and the Bible will tell us they became like new people. But it was God who was the baptizer. Even the greatest prophets were baptized with the Holy Spirit, but John says the one who is to come is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. John is telling us that this one is God, that God is coming. And so when Jesus comes, he comes as God, and he also comes as man. And his baptism is an indication of his entrance into the fallen world, to enter into humanity so that he can redeem humanity. His baptism is also illustrative to us of what we experience through Christ. Because he entered into our humanity, we can enter into his divinity.
That's right.
And at the baptism of Jesus, he comes out of the water. And Luke tells us as he was praying, Matthew tells us immediately as he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. Now we know from Luke's narrative that both John and Jesus were with the Holy Spirit from the time of their conception. But what we know is that when the Holy Spirit descends like a dove upon Jesus, he is being anointed anew and afresh with the Holy Spirit. At that same time, heaven is opened. And the Father's voice speaks to Jesus, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." We see three things happening there. Heaven is opened, the Spirit descends upon him, and God speaks to him. These are all experiences that we have in our life as Christians. Because of what Jesus sacrificed for us, we have heaven open unto us. Prior to this time, heaven and earth were separate. People were objects of God's wrath, sinners at enmity with God. Heaven was still closed to people. But through Jesus, heaven opens. Through Jesus, we become citizens of heaven. Through Jesus, we are no longer bound to this world and the powers of this world. We become born again as members of God's family. As members of God's family, we become his sons and his daughters. And what God says to Jesus, by us being in Jesus, is true of us. You are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. And we receive the Holy Spirit. We are born again by the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit. We are anointed with the Spirit. And from the all the narratives of the New Testament, we see this constant theme of the necessary reception of the Holy Spirit, of the necessary act of being born again from heaven so that heaven is open to us, and the need to hear from God. All three of those things we need. And what we see through the New Testament is that the Holy Spirit is present with us to help us, even as he came upon Jesus and anointed him, to help him, to anoint him with power. As Jesus goes from here, he's led into the wilderness where he's in there 40 days praying and fasting, and he's tempted and he overcomes those temptations, and he comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit and begins teaching and ministering with the authority of God. Well, Paul tells us in Romans 8:26 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And we'll go through the rest of that verse in a minute, but just stop right there and let that sink in. The Holy Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Whatever area of your life you are weak in, don't despair. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't allow yourself to be depressed or overwhelmed. The Holy Spirit helps you in your weakness. Your weakness of the flesh, the temptations of the flesh, the illness and pain of the flesh, areas of weakness, the areas of our mental afflictions, anxiety and fear and worry, weaknesses. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The fact that we are in this fallen world where it is the spirits in the kingdom of darkness that are in control of so much in this world. Against them we are weak, but the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in any area of our weakness. That's what he does. He is called our helper, our comforter, our advocate. Paul goes on to say, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The saints are you, the holy ones, saved by God. We need the Holy Spirit's help, and he's present to help us in our weakness. We don't even know how we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Every single one of us, if we could, if we had access to it, if we had a full body scan that we could walk into and it would immediately diagnose any problem, any potential problem in our bodies, in our health, and would report it to a doctor who could then create the treatment, create the prescription, whatever it was, and heal us and prevent it from happening, we would all go to that. We might be able to describe that machine and that doctor as helping us in our weakness. Well, the Holy Spirit comes to us. He is the Spirit of God. He knows the mind of God. He knows all things. And he promises to help us in our weakness. We have to avail ourselves of the Holy Spirit. We need to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit day in and day out, because he examines us. He knows us. He's working in us for good. He's working in us to transform us to the image of Christ. Every day as we avail ourselves of his Spirit, he is examining us and interceding for us to help us in our weakness.
Amen. That's right.
Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he spent 40 days with his disciples, the risen Lord. Those were some lucky people, men and women, who got to spend those 40 days with Jesus. Luke tells us in Acts that he taught them about the kingdom of God. And one of the things he said to them, and this is in Acts chapter 1, he also said it, it was recorded in Luke 24. He ordered them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He ordered them not to depart until they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Then You will receive power from on high. You will be my witnesses. What does that mean to be a witness of Jesus? It means to demonstrate his resurrected life in us. It means to demonstrate the truth of what Paul says, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you and gives life to your mortal body. It means to demonstrate that we've been saved from sin, we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light and into his holiness. We've become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We've become vessels of the Holy Spirit, whom we have in a jar of clay, but it is there. The hope of glory, Christ in us. That's how we become his witnesses. And everywhere we go, we are anointed with the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. And we need the word of the Father that continually reminds us that you are my child whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. He loves us. He's well pleased with us because we are his. We belong to him. His Holy Spirit is in us. He's pleased with us because he's able to work in us our salvation. He's able to use us as witnesses in the world. We need the Holy Spirit's help in our weakness as individuals and as a church to engage in the mission of God. When Peter and the other apostles and disciples received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, there was a manifestation of God's presence. And people gathered around and said, "What is this?" And Peter preached to them, and he quoted Joel's prophecy and said, "This is what Joel was talking about when he said, 'In the latter days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.'" And the people, after hearing Peter's preaching about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." In fact, Peter is only confirming what Jesus had said when he said, "You know, who of you being evil, when your child asks you for a gift, will not give them a good gift? How much more your Father in heaven, how will he not also give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The presence of God that came upon Jesus, coming upon us and living in us, is the promise of God. When Peter went to Cornelius' household, that is our reading from Acts, he went to these Gentiles and he started preaching to them about Jesus. And he described Jesus' ministry like this in verse 38. He said, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And then as Peter continues to preach, the Holy Spirit comes upon those in Cornelius' household, and they begin manifesting the presence of God through their speaking in tongues and their praising God. And Peter says, "Oh my gosh, God has even poured out his Spirit on these people." Well, we need to reframe our thoughts. We need to hear what God the Father says to us. "You are my son. You are my daughter whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." We need to realize that God even pours his Holy Spirit upon us. That person looking back at you in the mirror, God pours out his Holy Spirit upon you. God anoints you with the Holy Spirit and with power to go around doing good and bringing healing and good news to all those oppressed by the devil, that they might be set free, that they might be healed and delivered, that they might be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the ministry that we have, and to do it, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit's presence, just like Jesus needed the anointing of the Spirit before he began his ministry, the road to the cross. And the good news is that God loves us and wants to give us of himself. That's why he gave us his son, Jesus. And what's true of us as individuals is true of the church. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Our church is a member of the Diocese of the Mid-Atlantic in the Anglican Church in North America. And on the back of your bulletin are some quotes from the mission of the Diocese of the Mid-Atlantic. And the mission of the diocese is to extend the kingdom of God by so presenting Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit that people everywhere will come to put their trust in God through him, know him as Savior, and serve him as Lord in the fellowship of the church. The chief agents of this mission to extend the kingdom of God are the people of God. The people of God as agents extending the mission of God, advancing the kingdom, need the power of the Holy Spirit. Our province, the Anglican Church in North America, is a participant in the Global Anglican Futures Conference, which you might describe as being the conservative, faithful Anglicans in the world. And their statement of faith includes this statement: we rejoice in the gospel of God through which we have been saved by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are saved by faith in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And in order for us to lead others to salvation and faith in Jesus, we need that same power of the Holy Spirit to flow through us to them and to manifest in us and through us for other people. In fact, in order to fulfill our mission as a church, which is always on the inside cover of your bulletin, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God to help us in our weakness. The mission of Church of the Redeemer is to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to maintain the truths, values, and beliefs of the historic and apostolic Christian faith, and to affirm the authority of the Bible as the rule for our lives. As a loving, caring congregation, we reach out to each other and to our community and to the world, boldly proclaiming the good news that salvation comes through Christ alone. This is another way of stating the Great Commission, that we go into all the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, teaching people to observe all of his commandments. And on the back page of your bulletin is an elaboration on our mission. We believe that God has given us his Holy Spirit and poured his love into our hearts so that we might engage in his mission in the world. This mission is to seek and to save the lost. For the purpose of God's mission, he has given to each of his children gifts for expressing his love and salvation. Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. The Holy Spirit just doesn't come and anoint us. He equips us for the mission of the church, mainly evangelism and reaching people for Jesus. When Paul is describing what is happening in the church to the church at Corinth in his first letter to them, chapter 12, verse 4, he says, "Now there are a varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So there's a variety of people here, different ages, backgrounds, personalities, aptitudes, vocations. But for each of us, God has equipped us through the Holy Spirit with gifts and with a manifestation for the common good, for the good of those around us in the church, for the building up of the church, for the expression of God's love through our gifts in the community, whether it's our professional vocation, whether it's our hobby, whether it's to our family, or the places we go in between in our community. Each one of us is given the power of the Holy Spirit to share God's love in manifestations of good and service. Paul goes on to say that all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then Paul writes to Timothy, a person that he's training up for ministry, in 2 Timothy 1:6 through 7, he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And here is the imperative that comes along with God's gracious gift. God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit and salvation. He gives us the gift of his love and acceptance and his word. He gives us the gift of an open heaven to us. But now he gives us the imperative. And here it is stated like this: fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. So there's an action there, a participation by us. fan into flame the gift of God. And I would hope that I could describe all the activities that we do here at Church of the Redeemer as means and methods of fanning into flame the Holy Spirit in us and His gifts so that we can be active in ministry, expressing the power and love and the soundness and discipline of God's Spirit who is in us. Our study of Scripture, our prayer time, our singing and worship time, our practicing time, our discussions, even our fellowship, all fanning into flame what God has given to us for the good of others in the church and in the world. But we've got to engage in that, each and every one of us, because as we need help as individuals to overcome all the challenges in our life, as a church, we face opposition. I don't think it's by accident. Well, I know it's not by accident. I know it's by godly design that as Luke is sharing how John's ministry pointed to Jesus, who is God, and how Luke shows us in this chapter how God the Son receives God the Spirit and hears the voice from God the Father. Right in the midst of that, the one that Jesus later says was the greatest of those born of women up until this point, John the Baptist, we hear about John is taken by a worldly king and thrown into prison. And he'll later be executed by that same king. The greatest ministry in this world faces great opposition from the powers of darkness. We face opposition from the powers of darkness, from Satan and every demon and every agent of Satan in this world. We face opposition to be the church that God has called us to be. So we have to be intentional. We have to be focused through prayer, through stirring up and fanning into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. That's what this season of prayer for the church is about. It doesn't mean like we no longer pray for salvation for the lost, which we did the 40 days before Christmas, or that we don't yet pray for evangelism, which we'll do during Lent. But it means that we focus on the prayers for the church, the building up of the church, so that we can effectively engage in the mission that we have, sharing the love of Jesus, bearing witness to Him. To bear witness to Christ means to stand as His image in the world, to express His love through faith. And that's what He's called us to do and to be, to impact this world for the kingdom. But we've got to stand firm. We've got to commit ourselves to fanning into flame the gift that He's given us, to praying in the Spirit continually, to devoting ourselves to the spiritual disciplines, to holiness, to ministry, to stepping out of our comfort zone and out of sometimes even our personality to reach someone with the love of Christ. That's what we've got to be about. That's what God has called us for, and that's what He has equipped us for. We have every good gift we need for this mission. So let me close us in prayer. And on Tuesday evening, we will have another session of learning the practices of ministry right here at 6 o'clock. And the focus of that will be on the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given us for ministry that I read about from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. A variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. How do we avail ourselves of these gifts? How do we walk in them? How do we manifest them? It's more of a discussion. How can we do church effectively for God? Well, let us close in prayer. And Father, I thank You for the Holy Spirit. I thank You that Jesus is not the only Son, but He is the firstborn among many who through Him become Your children by adoption, born again by the Spirit, born again by the baptism of the Spirit as we enter into the baptism of water. Lord, we come to You, our Heavenly Father, through Christ as Your beloved sons and daughters. We thank You, Lord, that by grace You are pleased with us. And Father, we pray that in Your pleasure of us, You would lead and guide us to fulfill Your purpose as individuals and as a church for the building up and expansion of Your kingdom, for the salvation of souls, for the glory of the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.